Paddington found that Christmas took a long time to come. But the postman started arriving later and later in the morning, and when he finally did reach the Browns' house, there were so many letters to deliver, he had a job to push them all through the letterbox. Often there were mysterious-looking parcels as well, which Mrs. Bird promptly hid before Paddington had time to squeeze them. A surprising number of the cards were addressed to Paddington himself. Mrs. Bird helped him arrange them on the mantelpiece.
You may be only a small bear, but you certainly leave your mark.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't know how, I'm sure, Mrs. Bird. My paws are quite clean.
The Christmas tree and other decorations were almost finished, and the house had taken on a festive air. The sideboard was groaning under the weight of nuts and oranges, dates and figs, none of which Paddington was allowed to touch. And Mr. Brown had stopped smoking his pipe and was filling the air instead with the smell of cigars. The excitement mounted until it reached fever pitch a few days before Christmas, when Jonathan and Judy arrived home for the holidays. But this was nothing compared with Christmas Day itself. The Browns were up early on Christmas morning, much earlier than they had intended. It all started when Paddington awoke to find a large pillowcase at the bottom of his bed. His eyes nearly popped out with astonishment when he switched his torch on. It was bulging with parcels, and it certainly hadn't been there when he'd gone to bed on Christmas Eve. A few days before, on Mrs. Bird's instructions, he had made a list of all the things he hoped to have given him, and had hidden it up one of the chimneys. It was a strange thing, but everything on that list seemed to be in the pillowcase. There was a large chemistry outfit from Mr. Brown, full of jars and bottles and test tubes, which looked very interesting. And there was a miniature xylophone from Mrs. Brown, which pleased him no end. Paddington was fond of music, especially the loud sort.
What on earth's that row?
It's Paddington, dear. I'm afraid I gave him a xylophone.
You gave him a... I'm as patriotic as the next man, but I do draw the line when bears start playing the national anthem at 6 o'clock in the morning, especially on a xylophone.
Hey, Mum, Dad, come and see what Paddington's got.
He's great, Dad, honestly. He's got...
I can hear what Paddington's got.
Oh, dear.
As usual, it was left to Mrs. Bird to restore order.
Now, Paddington, no more presents till after lunch.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Bird.
I've already tripped over that new chemical outfit on the landing, and something nasty has gone in one of my slippers.
Oh, it's all right. It's only some iron filings. Oh. I don't think they're dangerous.
Well, dangerous or not, I've a big dinner to cook, not to mention your birthday cake to finish decorating.
Being a bear, Paddington had two birthdays each year, one in the summer and one at Christmas. After they'd had breakfast and been to church, Paddington read some chapters from his books and made several interesting smells and a small explosion with his chemical outfit.
Oh, Paddington! Oh. Don't watch out, we shan't last over Christmas. We shall either be blown to smithereens or poisoned. He was testing my gravy with some litmus paper just now.
Oh, it's a good job Christmas only comes once a year. Here, let me help you with those potatoes.
Oh, it isn't over yet.
Hey, Mum, Dad, it's Mr. Gruber.
I'll let him in. I saw him first.
No, I'll let him in. I saw him first.
Children!
But at last some measure of order was established, and the family and Mr. Gruber sat down to dinner. Paddington's eyes glistened as he surveyed the table. But even he got noticeably slower towards the end.
Well, I must say that's the best Christmas dinner I've had for many a day. Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, smashing.
Here, here. What do you say, Paddington? Don't lick the cream from your whiskers, dear.
Oh, he was very nice. Except I had a bone in my Christmas pudding.
What's that?
What?
What? Don't be silly. There are no bones in Christmas pudding.
I had one. It was all hard and it stuck in my throat.
Oh, stuck in your throat?
Oh, good gracious. It's the sixpence. I always put an old silver sixpence in the Christmas pudding.
What? I've never heard of a sixpence pudding before.
Quick, turn him upside down.
You must shake him by the legs.
Watch the floor for the sixpence.
No, it's no good. It must have gone too far. Here, have a chair, old chap.
I've got a magnet upstairs.
Yes.
We could try lowering down his throat on a piece of string.
I don't think so, dear. He might swallow that and then we should be even worse off.
How do you feel, Paddington?
Sick.
Of course you do, dear. It's only to be expected.
Well, there's only one thing to do. We shall have to send for the doctor.
Oh, thank goodness I scrubbed it first. It might have been covered with germs.
But I didn't swallow it. I only nearly did. Then I put it on the side of my plate. I didn't know it was a sixpence because it was all covered with Christmas pudding.
Oh.
I see.
But after dinner, when they had finished their coffee and were sitting round the blazing fire, Mr. Brown rubbed his hands.
Now, Paddington, it's not only Christmas, it's your birthday as well. What would you like to do?
If you all go into the other room, I've got a special surprise for you.
A surprise?
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Must we, Paddington? There isn't a fire.
Oh, I shan't be long, but it's a special surprise. And it has to be prepared.
He held the door open, and the Browns, Mrs. Bird and Mr. Gruber, filed obediently into the other room.
Now, close your eyes, and I'll let you know when I'm ready.
I hope you won't be too long.
They all waited for several minutes without speaking.
Do you think young Mr. Brown has forgotten about us?
I don't know, but I...
Oh, I'm not waiting much longer.
Henry... Have you gone to sleep?
Have I missed anything?
No,
nothing's happening. You'd better go and see what Paddington's up to.
Several minutes went by before Mr. Brown returned to announce that he couldn't find Paddington anywhere.
Hey, you don't think he's playing Father Christmas, do you? He was asking all about it the other day when he put his list up the chimney.
I bet that's why he wanted us to come in here, because this chimney connects with the one upstairs.
And there isn't a fire.
I'll give him Father Christmas. Paddington!
Mind your head up there, Henry.
I can't see him. Paddington!
Oh, no!
Now look what you've done, Henry. Shouting so, you've disturbed the soot all over your clean shirt.
If it is young Mr. Brown, perhaps he's stuck somewhere. He did have rather a large dinner.
Why, he might suffocate with the fumes.
Mrs. Bird hurried off to fetch a mop, and everyone took it in turns to poke it up the chimney. But even though they strained their ears, they couldn't hear a sound. It was while the excitement was at its height that Paddington came into the room.
You can come into the dining room now.
It's him!
Why, Paddington!
He's here!
It's Paddington! Oh,
what's that?
I've finished wrapping my presents, and they're all on the Christmas tree.
Oh.
You don't mean to say you've been in the other room all the time.
Yes. Oh, I hope I didn't keep you waiting too long.
Henry, I thought you said you'd looked everywhere.
Well, we just come from the dining room. I didn't think he'd be there.
I never thought of coming down the chimney.
Well, you're not thinking about it now, either.
But even Mr. Brown's expression changed as he followed Paddington into the dining room. There were now 6 newly wrapped presents tied to the lower branches of the Christmas tree.
Paddington! I'm afraid I had to use old paper. I hadn't any money left. Well, that's why you had to go into the other room while I wrapped them up.
Really, Paddington, I'm very cross with you, spending all your money on presents for us.
Oh, well, I'm afraid they're rather ordinary.
Ordinary? I don't call a pipe rack ordinary.
Wow, a new stamp album. And it's got some stamps inside already.
Peruvian ones from Aunt Lucy's postcards. I've been saving them for you.
And I've got a box of paint. Oh, thank you very much, Paddington. It's just what I wanted.
We all seem to be lucky. Lavender water. How did you guess?
Oh, I'm sorry about your parcel, Mrs. Bird. I had a bit of a job with the knots.
Well, it must be something special. It seems all string and no parcel.
That's because it's really clothesline, not string.
I can't think what it can be. Ah! Boy, I do believe it's a brooch, and it's shaped like a bear. Oh, lovely.
Oh, Patty. I don't know what mine is. It's such a funny shape. Oh, a drinking mug.
Oh.
And it even has my name painted on the side.
It's for your 11s, Mr. Gruber. I noticed your old one was getting chipped.
My cocoa will taste better than ever. And while I think of it, Mr. Brown, I have a small present for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's a book. A scrapbook. And my name on it. Oh, thank you, Mr. Gruber.
I know how you enjoy writing about your adventures. And you have so many, I'm sure your present scrapbook must be almost full.
It is. And I'm sure I shall have lots more. Things happen to me, you know.
When Paddington made his way up to bed later that evening, his mind was in such a whirl that he could hardly climb the stairs.
Paddington! Hmm? Whatever have you got there?
Oh, it's only some sixpence pudding, Mrs. Bird.
Huh?
I thought I might be hungry during the night.
What does that there look like? A paper hat 10 sizes too big? Mr. Kruber's scrapbook in one paw and a plate of Christmas pudding in the other?
I don't care what he looks like, so long as he stays that way. The place wouldn't be the same without him.
But Paddington was already sitting up in bed, busily writing in his scrapbook.
My Adventures, Chapter 1. I can't write any more just now. Never mind. I'm sure I'll have some more adventures, even if I don't know what they're going to be.
Paddington lay back and pulled the blankets up round his whiskers. He was warm and comfortable. It was nice being a bear, especially a bear called Paddington. Thank you.